Welcome to another episode of the SpoonNets Podcast. I'm one of your ECM coaches, Alicia.
I am Whit.
And I'm Mandy.
And today we're going to switch things up a little bit. But actually, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Thank you. But guys, we're going to switch things up today. And today we have our myth jar. Yay. So this is actually something new that we're doing. And we have different fitness myths in here, and we each are going to pull these myths out and talk about them. So we don't really know which one we're going to talk about today. We may talk about all of them. We may not. But I'm excited to see, you know, what we get to talk about. So actually, wait, I'll let you pull first.
You don't want to use your chopsticks first?
No, I don't.
All right, let's go. All right. Hold. Okay.
You got what you got.
All right. This is like totally for you. Crunches are the best moves for your core. You know, you're the core lady. So, yes. I know it's a staple. I know that these are a staple, but I do not agree. What do you think, Mandy?
I don't know if there is a best move for your core. I mean, there are so many out there, and like that's one thing that I love. If you're not one of our clients, I'm basically our abs coach. I coach abs twice a week, so I do tons of research. I've tried them all. I've done them all. I don't think crunches are the best thing. I think they are a great exercise, mm-hmm. but there are so many things out there. If crunches aren't your jam, if you just dread doing them, then that's not your best workout.
Right.
There is tons of other options out there.
I think plank is a staple. I don't know. Something about those.
Well, plank is getting into like really those deep core muscles. You see a lot of influencers talking about your deep core, and there is definitely something to that. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
For sure.
And I think your whole body.
Mm-hmm. And I think when people fail to realize, I think definitely doing ab workouts, core workouts, they're great, but you use your core with so much other exercise, like when you're squatting. Every exercise using your core. Because I know at one point, I do them now, but at one point I will, you know, have my core abs, and people were like, oh, how many times do you do abs a week? And just a few years ago, of course, I'm like, I don't actually. They're like, well, how do you have abs? You know, why is your core so strong? Well, all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, well,
the kitchen.
Well, that too, as far as how they look. But it was just like, you use it with so much. You know, I live heavy too. So it's important now. I see the difference when I have added the different type of core exercises in. But definitely crunches is so much. It's so much more than just crunches.
Yeah, and to that point, I say that to our clients a lot. I'm like, you don't ever have to actually do ab-focused exercises to get abs.
Yeah.
You can do squats. You can do swings. Or you can do planks. You mm-hmm. can do, you know, tons of other things. So I'm going to debunk this myth. Crunches aren't the best.
Crunches are not the only thing. All right. I'll go next. What we have here. I like this one. The scale is the only measurement to determine your success.
That was let me tell you now.
First of all, the scale does not tell the full picture. The scale does not tell whether or not you're healthy. I think a lot of times I really dislike, I'm not going to say hate is such a strong word. I really dislike when I see someone, whether I know them personally, whether they're a client, and I know they're working hard. They're working their butts off there, doing more than they ever done ever. They're eating healthier. They're working out, all this stuff. And then they see that the scale does not move and they get so discouraged. And I am here to tell you that you doing the work, you putting in the work, and sometimes not seeing the scale move, that's so normal, because the scale does not tell the full picture. That scale doesn't tell you, oh, you know, whether, you know, the weight, you know, that's body composition too, right? Yes. So where your weight's also another important thing to know is that your weight fluctuates. For me, I know at the beginning of the week, sometimes I'm 148, and by the end of the week, I might be 153.
Especially as a woman.
Yeah, like your body, your weight fluctuates. So even that is something. So a lot of times I like to encourage people to use clothing items instead. So if you know that you're trying to get in this dress or some shorts or a shirt, use that as your measuring tool. Use pictures as a measuring tool, because that tells so much more than the scale. You know, if you're adding on muscle, sometimes, you know, the scale is going to appear that you aren't necessarily losing weight, but it could just be that it's converted in different ways. And so, you know, I just hate when I see people, I dislike when I see people getting so discouraged because the scale isn't moving. And I'm like, they could be having a great day. They know that they're working out, they're eating healthy, they're feeling good. And then they let something that takes batteries, like something so small, control your day. Like, no, if you're having a good day and you get on the scale, you're like, oh, goodness, it's not moving. And sometimes, yeah, you do need to reevaluate. Well, what am I doing? Like, am I doing what I need to be doing? But that doesn't mean you beat yourself up and then you cry about all the things that you have achieved, but yet you just forget about it because of the scale. Like, focus on the non-scale victories. Are you eating better? Are you sleeping better? How's your skin? How's your mental? Are you speaking more positive affirmation? Like, all of those non-scale victories. Are you fitting that dress now? Like, it's just all of those things. They just like go out the window because something so small.
Okay, I have a question for y'all.
Those you all. Mm-hmm.
How often do y'all weigh yourself? I literally could probably not even tell you the doctor.
How often do I go to the doctor? Yeah, one time a year.
Yeah, like, I never weigh myself. I know you never. Like, that's a like. I'm sure y'all feel confident in yourself.
Now, yeah,
y'all know we work hard for our goals.
I'm a person that goes off of how I look and how my clothes fit. I think the scale can be a tool.
Absolutely.
But I'd say it's one of three. So I think you should do scale. I think you should do measurements because mm-hmm. that's going to give you more of like your body composition,
right.
You know, an idea for that mm-hmm. and pictures. Like if somebody says, I'm not losing weight, blah, 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 blah. I've been doing everything right. I say, send me progress pictures.
And then you see
that's
it.
A much better indicator. Yeah.
And normally we like, they may not see it. Like you may not see it on yourself because, you know, we beat ourselves up.
We look at
up.
Ourselves every day.
Every day.
Yeah. We don't and see the changes. Then that we put the see. Picture side by side and you rather do see it. Or somebody else sees it.
Yeah.
Or, you know, something like that. So I definitely, I'm not a, I don't like the scale.
No.
I'm not.
Yeah, no.
Plus, I go from, like, y'all know I'm a small framed person. So I go from literally 100 pounds to 110 pounds. Mm-hmm. And I don't freak out at either way.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make a difference. Like, yeah. It doesn't matter. Yeah. It could be in like 2 weeks that change.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the last time, well, ironically, the last time I did go to the doctor was last Friday with my little allergy testing. But, and when I got on the scale, I was like, you know, because I was like, okay, but I was, you know, in one, I know I fluctuate between the whole 148 and 150, but I was like 153, but I know my goals are different and I am trying to put on size. So I was just like, okay. But other than that, I didn't go home and be like, well, let me weigh myself now. Like, you know, it's just, again, I think it's a great tool to have, but it's not
the end
full
all,
picture.
Be all.
It's not the full picture. Just think about it. There's a lot of people who are not healthy. As healthy, but they may be thinner. That doesn't mean, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't mean like,
exactly.
It doesn't mean what you
that's
think
of perfect.
Me.
Yeah,
you
that's
know
a perfect
what I'm
way to
it's
put
like,
it.
Yeah, but
skinny just because it the scale.
Skinny doesn't mean healthy.
Yeah, correct.
Point blank
correct. And I feel like in older generations, I feel like they really like zoned in on that.
Well, and
like,
if you look at the difference in fitness people and models and stuff from the 80s and 90s, they were very skinny. Yeah, remember, they wore the really high cut things, but like mm-hmm. the aesthetic is different now.
I'm glad it's back.
Yeah.
I'm glad the high waist
I'm down
stuff
for
is
whatever.
Back.
I mean, I like all the different bodies. That's what makes us great. But yeah, I mean, it is old school diet culture to think that the lower the number on the scale, the better.
Yeah.
Correct.
No.
Totally.
Love it. I love it.
Good one, y'all. Right.
That yeah, was that, nice. I really like that one.
Let me shake it up. Shake it up. There you go, boo.
Okay. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na. Yep.
All right.
Why you didn't call her chopsticks?
I know. Well.
Mine's more like a spork.
A spork.
Exercise can erase a bad diet.
Mm, mm.
So, I mean, I think we all know that absolutely not. And I'm a big proponent of you can't work off that bad meal you're feeling bad about. I think that's something that's really important to know. I think people are like, I got to go hard. I got to work off my treat meal. And you definitely don't because you can't. Like, right. You ate what you ate. It's going to process through your body and, like, just do better tomorrow. But, you know, there's no way to improve your body than to eat toward your goals. Yeah. Eat for your goals.
Correct.
You cannot out-train a bad diet.
Correct.
Point blank, period.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it.
That's where the abs come from. I mean, it goes right back to what, I mean, you hear it constantly, and it's so true. Abs are made in the kitchen.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
You're the most disciplined. That's proof right there. Like,
the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah,
the proof
I
is
mean,
in the Mandy.
Yeah. So yes. I totally, totally agree with that. Like,
yeah, no, you can't.
Don't kill yourself over the cheeseburger that you had. And you know, if you are having your one or two treat meals a week, enjoy them. You know, if you want to fuel your body correctly, go get a good workout in and then eat your treat meal right after. That way it feeds your body and goes to the right places. So.
Yep. But yes, guys, do not let it go over your head. What Manny said, you cannot out train the meal that you just had. Like, if you had it and it was something that was not on course, that's okay. Just chop it up and just do better tomorrow. But please do not beat yourself up because of what you just ate. All right.
Come on, pass it on over.
Come on over.
Sport lady.
Soreness is the only indicator of a good workout. Mm. Mm, yeah, that's not true. That is totally not true. I have amazing workouts sometimes, and, you know, targeting maybe just a certain, like, let's say I'm going to target my lower body that day, and just because, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to be so sore, you know, all these things. You know, I did everything properly. I stretched beforehand. I stretched after. You know, maybe I had an Epsom salt bath, or if I am sore, but that is not true whatsoever. That doesn't mean my workout was not good. That doesn't mean I needed to do more. I mean, if you're pushing your limits and you know that you're pushing your limits, there's no, that's not true.
And sometimes soreness means that you're not fueling your body to recover as well. You need those proteins. You need those amino acids to help your muscles recover. And so it's, you know, I love to get sore. I have meathead mentality on that. I really do. But at the same time, I also know, like I even said this morning as we were preparing for this podcast, I was like, I am so sore. Maybe I'm not eating enough this week. So listen to what your body says on these things.
Yeah. Also, when we go to the hot box, I think all of us pretty much get sore. Yeah. Like, you know, Jeff switches up.
Because it's different.
It's something different. And, you know, we get sore, but.
Yeah. So soreness isn't bad, guys. But, you know, it doesn't mean that you didn't have a good workout if you're not. All right. You need to spend hours in the gym to get results. Baby, let me tell you something. Who has all that time?
Right?
Who has the time? But no, that's definitely a myth. The beautiful thing that I love about our program, E2M, is that most of our workouts are within that 35, 45 minute range. And if you're not in the program, definitely make sure you visit www.e2mfitness.com or visit our Instagram page. But you will see the results of our clients, and they're not in the gym for 2 and 3 hours. They're literally doing the workouts that may be 35 minutes, or even if they're doing an extra 30 minutes of cardio or 40, whatever the case is, whatever it is for that week. But the great part about it is you can get a great effective workout in, and you don't have to be in the gym for hours. Even when we go to the hot box on Tuesdays, when we work out together every Tuesday, we're in there for an hour. And like you said, we're out. It's a great workout. We felt, you know, like the goal was accomplished when we leave. But I think for me, I'll probably do spend like maybe like an hour and a half just for my weight training and then, you know, cardio, whatever the case I do. But at one point I did used to be in the gym like two, three hours. I used to, but then now once I understood how I can still reach my goals and change up what I'm doing and, you know, just additional coaching in my life that I understand now. I'm like, oh, girl, you don't have time to be in there.
Yeah.
You don't have to be in there that
long. About optimizing and maximizing the time that you do spend. And so that means you don't have to be there for a long time. And honestly, I think it depends on the person, but I would say for people that are newer to working out, going so hard like that out of the gate is going to burn you out mentally and physically too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It totally depends on the person. If 2 and 3 hours works for you and you got that kind of time, you see great results. No shade whatsoever. But it is really easy to get burned out when you're telling yourself that you have to do that amount of exercise every single day.
Yeah, it can overwork. You're just going to wear out. You're overworking your body.
And then you might
quit.
Yeah.
And now some people, like, I actually, it's interesting because I actually think we had a post going on about that in the group from clients and about just how long they do. And some people love it. It's their therapy, it's their place to get away. So again, we're not saying that. No, don't be in the gym for that long. No, but what we're saying is for those who are new to fitness that you don't have to if you're doing an effective workout. Like, you don't have to feel like you got to be in there that long. So,
and I feel like your body gets used to that. You know, it gets used to that. Okay, I'm at the gym for two hours. Mm-hmm. And then now you're sad. Now you've hit a plateau. Now it's like, you know, now it wants more. And then now it's just like this whole dominoes effect when really you could go in there, crush your workout for an hour and – you know, whether it's at home or at the gym, and move on about your day and eat properly. Like, because it goes right back to the nutrition. Y'all already know that's like the main thing. It's the hardest part. But I definitely think that, you know, you can overwork your body.
Oh, absolutely. All right, guys, just because I'm extra, y'all know how to do rock, paper, scissors, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So there's one more. Let's see who's going to answer
it. Is it rock, paper, scissors, shoot?
Shoot, yes. All right. You ready?
All right. Are we all doing it? Yeah. How would we all... when? Like, who's gonna
win? We got to do 2 rounds.
Okay.
2 rounds? Yeah. Okay.
How about y'all go and then I'll go to the next person? Does that make sense?
No.
Okay, never mind.
All ready? Right. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Oh, look at us.
All right.
We cut it.
Ready?
Bang, bang.
Okay. I beat us both. So you're answering.
All right. Oh, I like this. This is a really good one. Y'all are going to like this one. Lifting heavy weights bulks up women.
No.
Meh.
You got to work hard for these games.
Yeah, exactly.
No. You got to eat hard for these games.
No, for real. I think that is something that I'm great. Go ahead. That's your question.
No. Yeah, let's all jump in on that. Go for it.
You go for it first.
All right. So I totally disagree. I actually try to lift decently heavy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for my body frame. Mm-hmm. I know. Hold on. And nice. So I feel like I do not look, as they would say, manly. Because I feel like we get that all the time as trainers. Well, I don't want to move up to this amount of weight because that's going to make me look manly. And I don't want to look like that. Oh, my gosh. No, it makes you strong. It makes you strong. Yeah. It builds your core. It makes, you know, in every aspect of your everyday life. Like, let's just say you're a mom and you got two kids. And maybe you had twins. And you're going to have to carry babies around. You know, the whole thing. It makes everyday life easier, in my opinion.
Yeah. Everybody wants tone. Everybody wants a toned body.
That's a good one. I don't know
if they know that a toned body is a muscular body. You have to lift those weights to get that mm-hmm. tone that you want. I mean, I might have bulkier arms than what people want, but I worked really hard to get these. So trust me.
I'm jelly. I want the arms.
But yeah, guys, you definitely, lifting heavy weights is not going to make you bulky. It's all about how you would eat in tandem with those heavy workouts. Yeah. So.
And you got to eat. Like, eat.
Yeah.
Like, eat to become, you know, no neck. You know those men that walk in the gym with no neck?
No neck.
Yeah. I actually call this man that. He doesn't know I call him that. I probably shouldn't call him that, but I did call him that. But no neck, and that's how I don't know his name, but that's how that's what I call him. Like, oh, you poor thing.
Yeah, don't let the weight scare you guys. But yeah. So I put him back in here, but we don't have any more. But guys, I like that. That was pretty cool.
Was fun.
So guys, as you saw, you know, we're picking these questions, picking these meals. We actually like to get you guys involved as well. So if you have any questions that you would like to ask us during our next podcast, go ahead and put them in the comments right now. Or even if you have some myths that you may have heard and you just want us to, you know, talk more about them, like, let us know. You know, go ahead and engage with us. Get engaged with us. So right now, take time, put it in the comments. What would you like for us to answer? Or even if you just have personal questions for us, you know, Mandy, Whitney, myself, or, you know, how we got started with fitness, whatever you like. We would like to get you guys involved and really make sure that we are catering to you and talk about what you would like to hear. So again, thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. And until next time, God bless. Bye.
Bye.